from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, a quick reminder, we're giving away Texans tickets today. They're lower bowl tickets. They're not the front row ones that we give away on Texans Ticket Tuesday, but this is a bonus. We don't usually have a Texans Ticket Thursday, but we've gotten some more tickets for Saturday's game against the Giants, and so we'll be doing that in the 9 o'clock hour. So be listening, and we're doing all four shows today are giving away tickets. In the Loop, The Drive, Area 45. We've all got a pair of tickets to give away. Ours are in the 9 a.m. hour. Yesterday, there was a trade. Matthew Judon, who has been a really good edge rusher for the Patriots, more so in 2021 and 2022, where he was a double-digit sack guy. 2023, he was banged up. He only played six games. He had a torn pectoral muscle, I believe, and he only played in six games last year. But when healthy, he is a very good chaser of the quarterback. He was traded by the Patriots yesterday to the Atlanta Falcons for a third round pick. And reportedly, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he tweeted about this trade last night. Jeremy Fowler did, and he said, while the Bears were heavily involved in Matt Judon trade talks, the Texans also showed some interest, I'm told. The Patriots had a healthy market for him, ultimately leading to a Falcons deal. I don't know how healthy the market was if you only got a third round pick for a guy who's a year removed from 12 and a half sacks, but
it's all, yeah, I think it's the
contract, it's
the contract dynamic. Yeah. Look, he's unhappy. He wants a contract, all of that. I saw somebody wondering why is it that teams will trade first round picks all the time for rookie prospects, where guys like this don't get, I mean, it just boils down to money. If a guy wants big, big money, yeah, you're not going to be willing to give up as much for him.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year. But the Texans were reportedly in on this, according to Jeremy Fowler.
What do you make of that?
I think that D'Amico every morning has a meeting with Caserio, in which Caserio has to talk him out of signing and trading for every good pass rusher in the league.
Or interior guy.
I think when D'Amico says that the defensive line is the engine of this defense, he's not just saying that as a way to say nice things about defensive linemen. I think that it's kind of like when Lovie Smith was the head coach of the Bears, they drafted defensive players in the first round, and specifically linemen. I want to say half of Lovie Smith's draft picks when he was a head coach with the Bears, when they were really good defense, were defensive linemen. And there's some similarities between Lovie's worldview and D'Amico's. It's that, man, life gets a lot easier for everybody on the back end when you've got a ferocious pass rush up front. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 10 drafts, 5 of the first round picks are defensive linemen. D'Amico absolutely loves defensive linemen, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't like my type of defense. I mean, he likes and appreciates my type of, like, the guy I was.
Right.
But he wants pass rushers. He wants guys that just make life really, really miserable for the quarterback. And, I mean, we saw it this offseason. You signed D'Amico Autry. You signed Neil Hunter. They're trying to maybe at least they were interested in trading for Matthew Judon. I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about the Texans being in on potential pass rushers.
No, no. And they've got cap space, too. You know, if they really wanted to do this, I guess it comes down to, you know, a phrase that Nick Caserio uses a lot, allocation of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trade a third-round pick? Which is, that's a recoupable asset. I know third-rounders, Texans have some good guys on this roster who are taken in the third round. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Kalen Bullock, Christian Harris, guys like that. You can recoup a third-round pick somewhere along the way. I guess the contract would be the big thing. Because, okay, do we want to – Judon is – I don't know what type of money Judon is looking for, nor do I really have a feel for what he deserves because he's kind of a year removed from being that guy. And he's older. He's 32 years old. So it's probably one of those things. Maybe even Matthew Judon knows that you know, I'm probably not getting a four-year deal or anything like that. If you could have traded a third – and you had to pay Matt Judon like a 2-year, $20 million thing. Would you have done that?
I'm guessing 2 years, $20 million. Yeah, maybe. Maybe Judon's expectations are higher than that.
They probably are.
So that might be part of just what kept the Texans out of it.
Yeah.
Is that maybe they were willing to give up a third round pick, but not at that price.
Yeah.
Caserio has this reputation, or at least amongst, you know, last year when he was less popular, I was having an argument with a friend of mine about, and my friend was upset that, well, he just throws away these fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks like they're nothing. So I went through, this was last offseason, two offseasons ago in the 2023 offseason. I went through and just added up all the math of the draft value and everything else of all of the transactions that involved draft picks for Caserio, and it was pretty much even. You know, you never... Because everybody notices when you give away a pick, but when you find out in a trade that you gained a sixth or a seventh round pick or something, you don't think that much of it. Like, on the average, he's using those fifth through seventh round picks like they're, it's spare change, you know, to finish deals, to add to deals, whatever, just to get stuff done. So, and those add up to third round picks when you want to spend one.
That's right.
I'm guessing it was the contract more so than anything.
Yeah. Because
you know, if Judon was willing to come in and play on a 1 year deal for whatever he's making or whatever, yeah, he probably would have gotten a second round pick.
Yeah, well, he's only making, like I say, only. He probably got a signing bonus, obviously, when he signed. I think his salary this year is $6.5 million. So, and I don't even know that it's guaranteed because it's the last year of a deal. That kind of, I think he just wants some security. It sounds like he's 32 years old, so I think he wants some security. The reason I'm like, why is 2 years $20 million in my head? Because Judon probably wants more than that for a guy who had 15 and a half sacks or something like that 3 years ago, 12 and a half a couple years ago. That's what they paid D'Amico Autry. It was 2 years, $20 million. And I do wonder, Seth, if part of why at least maybe Nick is making a phone call about this, because all Fowler says is that the Texans were interested. You know, he didn't say that they were in it till the very end and, you know, it was a bidding war with the Texans and the Falcons, just that they were interested. Is that maybe, you know, maybe D'Amico Autry missing the first six games, if he can get a cheap solution, relatively cheap, to, you know, to get some depth on the defensive line, they'd like to do that.
So
Judon to Atlanta. I've got the results of our AFC South hate poll. We were talking yesterday. We played the trash talk, not the trash talk, but DeForest Buckner acknowledged with Kay Adams earlier this week that there's some bad blood simmering between the Texans and the Colts with all of CJ's chatter on these various podcasts, Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed kind of going back and forth with CJ a little bit. So we hashed it out kind of yesterday. Okay, so really, who is our most hated rival here in the AFC South? Now, yours is the Colts, Seth. You said the Colts for you. And a lot of that is because of personal experience you had going against Peyton Manning back early
Peyton
in
Manning,
the Texans
days. And then the Colts fans themselves, too.
Yes.
I just, they annoyed me. There were just a few, like, highly vocal inbreds that back in the old RCA Dome sat right behind the bench, and they annoyed me. Yeah. That was my beginning of where I was, I learned to have rightful hatred for the citizens of Indiana. Yes. Yes. I dug into the statistics and everything. Yeah. I didn't want it to be grounded on just, personal prejudice or anything. And no, it's a backwater hillbilly. Despite having almost zero hills in the entire state,
right.
They somehow manage a way to become hillbillies.
They must be terrible because from what I know of you, you're not a chronic grudge holder.
No,
you're pretty good at flushing things, you know.
Yeah. And I try really hard not to hate categories of people.
Yes.
You know, it's a bad thing to hate categories of people. I'm a citizen of the world.
Right.
And yet, Indiana, no, I won't
hate
touch
them.
That place.
Yeah. What do you think the people said?
The people said Tennessee,
yeah.
I know, for a fact. I didn't look at the results, but I know that the people said Tennessee, not by a plurality, but let's see. I guess 40% Tennessee.
63% Tennessee.
63%?
63. That's a majority right there, my friend.
Yeah.
63%. Colts, 30.2%.
So Jets, wait, is a plurality is just like that's the most but not a majority?
Correct.
Or
yeah.
is a... Okay.
Yeah, 40% would have been a plurality. Right, right.
I thought you could have a majority and not be in more than 50%. You can't? Okay.
I don't think so. Yeah,
okay.
I don't think so. Majority means greater than 50%.
No. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Someone fact-checked me on that, though. Jags, way behind. We tried it yesterday, man. Like, conjuring up, like, Colts and Titans-level hate for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we just couldn't. We couldn't get there.
We couldn't do it. We couldn't find any of the... A lot of the most notable Jaguars players... haven't been really unlikable dudes like Maurice Jones-Drew. It's just he's not unlikable. Ever since the Texans came into existence in 2002, I can't think of a single guy. And I think the most popular answer we get from people is Tony Boselli. But that has everything to do with the fact that he didn't end up suiting up for the Texans. People hate the Texans more than they hate the Jaguars when it comes to Tony Boselli.
Yes.
That's more if you're trying to find reasons to hate the Texans, perhaps. Now, I love Tony Boselli because I know him personally, but I understand people's disgruntlement with him, but it's not as a Jaguar that you dislike him.
Yeah. Is the Boselli hate kind of what McCullers is going through right now? Is that like the unavailability hatred? Like... Which guys can't really control. They get hurt, and what's he supposed to do? Like, his shoulder
doesn't
work.
And Boselli can't throw a curveball for crap. So, I mean, it's even worse, you know?
Yeah.
McCullers did help you win a couple World Series.
He did.
Whereas Tony didn't necessarily do that for the Texans.
He did.
For the Texans or the city of
Houston. He didn't win a game.
No.
Did he ever suit up, like, at all, like, in a preseason game? I wasn't here for that, so.
I can't. He tried, man. He is bone on bone in his shoulder when they drafted him. He had a nasty shoulder injury, like, just chronically bad.
Brutal.
And he tried really, really hard.
Yeah.
He was, like, he worked his butt off, and it just wasn't going
to
work.
Okay, did you hear that, haters? He tried really hard to get on the field, all right?
Plus, he didn't really hurt the Texans at all because if they hadn't taken on his salary, they would have had to sign like 20 dudes because they had to. They had an expansion team. You have to spend a certain amount of money.
Right.
And it was like it was either Tony Boselli taking a swing on him with his known health issues or go with 20 guys who definitely weren't going to make the team, you know, like to try to get the levels up.
If I were Charlie Casserly back then, I would have gone with the Boselli solution, even if I knew he couldn't play just because of the amount of work involved. Like, okay, I can just go get Boselli, or I got to talk to 20 different people and 20 different agents. No, just give me Boselli. It's a lot easier. And then I can go party for the weekend. Yeah. I'm looking at a text here. This is from Middle Screen. Coach Middlescreen is a loyal listener to the show. So I saw the Browns and the Vikings had a joint practice, and I noticed there were like five highlights. Only one was of the offense. So I read Mary Kay Cabot's observations. Mary Kay Cabot is the Browns beat writer for The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He read Mary Kay Cabot's observations, and I guess Deshaun Watson is currently struggling with the deep ball and only really looking sharp on the short, quick game stuff right now.
Oh, good. He's a game manager. That's why you trade for a guy like that. You want somebody who can be a game manager. Well, meanwhile, he's got a backup in Jameis Winston, who's the antithesis of a game manager.
The man of the people is what
he is. He's a man of the deep ball and the deep interception.
Yes.
And the short interception and the pick six and all other interceptions along the line. He's only, Sean, the average interception rate on a starting quarterback in the NFL is about 2.5%.
Okay.
So, like, so just by way of illustration, I think Jameis has only had two seasons in his entire career where he's been below two, at or below 2.5%.
Judgment's never been his big thing, man, on many levels.
2021 was a good year for him because he had 14 touchdowns and three interceptions. That was when he only got injured after the seventh game.
Yeah.
But, like, through the duration of his career, he's been up in the fours as often as not, four percentage or more, like throwing twice the average or so. I think Browns fans, though, totally, if they caught Jameis Winston early in the year, if Deshaun Watson's not fully recovered from his surgery or something, if they get a good stretch of Jameis Winston, it's going to be
it's going to be
fun, man.
Yeah.
There's going to be drama. There's going to be lots of drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
James... And you never know. Jameis in this scheme, you know, in a Kubiakian scheme.
Yep.
This is because Stefanski's got time with Kubiak. He picked it up in Minnesota.
Yep.
You might get the best version of Jameis Winston. He's more mature now. You know, he's kind of exercised a lot of the demons that haunted him early in his career. He's a different dude now. There's a controversy of brewing in Cleveland.
We'll
I can feel it in my bones.
Well, miking up Jameis for a preseason game is not going to help Deshaun's cause any, because Jameis mic'd up is a national treasure. Here is Jameis. There's about a three and a half minute video floating around the internet of him mic'd up, but this was the portion I chose to bring to the show here today. This is Jameis doing the pregame kind of hype up the team thing. You know, the whole team's gathered around him, and he's in the middle of the circle doing this.
The message is simple. Be obsessed with your opportunity. All of us that came from wherever we're from. Mm-hmm. But we got it right here and we got it right now.
Yeah.
So be obsessed with your opportunity. I got one thing for y'all, man.
Yeah.
All right, I just want y'all to help me out because I know we're a team, all right? I have this in my dream, all right?
Come on.
All right, when I say where are my dogs at, y'all say we ready, all right?
Yeah.
Where are my dogs at?
We ready.
Where are my dogs at?
We ready.
Now, I'm about to spell the Browns out and I know we one team, man, okay? I'm going to spell the Browns out. I'm going to go B-R-O-W-N-S. And you're going to say, let's get it.
Let's get it.
All right. With my B-R-O-W-N. That's it.
Let's get it.
Let's go.
Family
on three. Family on me. One, two, three.
Family.
Let's get it.
Woo!
Let's get it.
Let's get busy.
Man, I think they're kind of, I think they're, I think they're buying what Jameis is selling there, dude.
I think they are buying, well, yeah. It's all right. It's fun. But I always watch these because there's always, in any pep talk situation like this, there's always the guys that are hyper into it at the nucleus. And then you get out to the fringes and there's kind of the guys that are like, man, I got to go get my wrists taped. You know, I got to, like, it was a 2 minute clip originally. He was out there for 2 minutes. I feel like he was sermonizing a little too much. It was good. The clip you played was good. But sometimes I can tell, I think Jameis went to one of those country churches where they have like 8 hour
services,
8 hour services. I remember listening to guys on the team talking about that, about, man, someone defensive back was telling me like about when you're a kid and you're going to church and it's going to be 8 hours.
Yeah.
And man, somebody gets happy and then really gets going.
Oh boy.
It's a long day. I feel like Jameis gets happy a lot in church services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, man. When he's giving that, I'm like, man, he is preaching right now. I thought he probably could have cut it off after the where my dog's at, we ready, where my dog's at,
yeah, he didn't
we
have
ready.
To start spelling out the Browns and all that.
The only way the spelling out the Browns thing would have been fun to add to it is if he misspelled it. Like, all right, I'm going to spell Browns, and then you say we ready. B-R-I-W-N. Wait, what? Huh?
Well, the whole, you know, the thing with Jameis is that, you know, he's been open about the fact that he, like, obviously had issues handling alcohol early in his career.
Yes, yeah.
He was a guy that could not... I don't know how much he drank or anything, but when he's one of those people that when he drank, he did stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes that filters over into the rest of your life, you know? And you can see just by his actual, his body composition, how much he's changed.
Yeah.
He's just a much leaner dude now. He's talked about how he quit drinking and everything. So you wonder if some of those judgment issues that he had early in his career, where, again, yeah, and I was wrong, the average interception rate is 2.0%.
Okay.
He's only had one season in his career where he was below that, and it was at 1.9%. Like, he's been elevated. Yeah, he throws a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested if in this scheme, you know, where it gives you a real good blueprint of when to throw the ball and when not to throw the ball, all of that. And given his maturation over the years, you could see the best version of Jameis Winston. And it might come if Deshaun Watson is struggling to come back from his offseason surgery. We might get a dose of him early in the year.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm looking at the Browns schedule right now, and I'm looking at him like, okay, they open with Dallas. That's the game. That's Tom Brady's first game he's doing as a regular season commentator. So they're playing Dallas. They're playing Jacksonville. They're playing the Giants. They're playing the Raiders, the Commanders. First five games, no world beaters. Some actual legitimately bad teams on there. But I don't even know with Deshaun, Seth, if it's about who they're playing. To me, it's just about how's the shoulder. You know, like is the shoulder working or is the shoulder not working for Deshaun? Mm-hmm. Especially what Middle Screen's sharing with us here about Mary Kay Cabot's reports about trouble with the deep ball. Like Deshaun's typically been a pretty good deep ball thrower, you know?
He's a check down guy and he's getting old. Like, I don't know if he wants to be a guy that does it with his legs more often than not. He's not gonna all of a sudden turn into Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Except minus the deep ball.
Right.
I don't think that's what they want out of him. I'm on Team Jameis.
I love Jameis. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a redemption story in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we may get more of him mic'd up if he's playing, you know? Although I think Jameis mic'd up just standing there with the clipboard and the ball cap would be hilarious.
I want to see him eat some W's.
Yeah. Good question on the text page about the Texans' possible involvement or at least inquiry into the availability of Matthew Judon, the edge rusher for the Patriots, who, if you missed it, traded to the Falcons yesterday for a third-round pick. Does the possibility of the Texans going after Judon make you have any concerns about the overall health of Will Anderson? I thought about that yesterday. Are they going after Judon because there might be, you know, maybe this Will Anderson injury is something. Here's my concern about Will Anderson. And just to be clear, Will Anderson is among several players who haven't been practicing that have been working out on the very next field over pretty feverishly. Like, you watch Will Anderson and these other guys working out, Joe Mixon before he came back, other guys working out. Like, you can tell Noah Brown, like, you can watch him work out and you go, all right, well, they look like guys, to my completely uneducated medical eye, but longtime football fan, they look like guys who, if this were the regular season, Seth, they would be listed as questionable on Friday on the injury report. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys working out on the other field?
Yeah, they're. I think right now a lot of people have started wringing their hands about the injuries, which is understandable because Christian Harris is one that was just very mysterious and weird. But I think they are being very careful just in general. Like, any little tweak or something, they're treating it like it's a veteran pitcher.
Yeah.
And they're just going to really take a veteran pitcher during spring training. They're just going to be really careful and take their time.
My concern with Will Anderson, I guess, and it's a mild concern, is that it is an ankle that he is working through right now. It was an ankle that hindered him in the latter portion of last season where he actually had to miss a couple games. He himself said that even when he came back, like he came back for that Tennessee game in week 17 or whatever it was, and he only played 12. He had two sacks, but he only played 12 snaps the whole game because of the ankle.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that concerns me without having clarification on it is this an ankle? Like, does this ankle injury somehow stem from last year? Remember Steph Curry early in his career?
That's exactly who I was going to bring up.
Yeah, like he had all kinds of ankle issues. It just lingered.
I was banking on his floppy ankles.
Yeah.
That was going to be what kept him from being a genuinely great player.
Right.
Spoiler alert, it didn't work out that way.
No.
Okay?
No. I hope
apologies
it works
to anybody
similarly.
That I spoiled American Psycho for people earlier. You know, so likewise, I apologize if I spoiled Steph Curry's career for you.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it works out for Will Anderson like it has for Steph Curry. That would be amazing.
Will Anderson, well, it is interesting because he's talked a lot about some of the finer aspects of rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. Like, ankle flexion goes into it a lot. Your shin angle and everything when you're turning the corner. And some guys just naturally have it. Other guys have to work at it. You know, maybe Will just doesn't have naturally flexible ankles.
It's
something you got to work at and strengthen, et cetera, et cetera. But hopefully we're just hand-wringing over nothing.
Yep.
By the way, so in an election, one of our texters told us, a plurality in an election is when you have more than 50%.
Oh, it is?
A majority is just more than the minority.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was.
I get them mixed up all the time.
Okay.
And so I threw plurality. I guess I used plurality correctly, but it was just sheer random luck.
Oh, okay. I thought majority. I had it opposite.
In other environments, majority does mean more than 50%, but in an election situation,
okay,
as I understand it, according to the text line,
okay,
majority just means more. Well, because it's in presidential elections, it's rare that you get a plurality. Usually it's like, oh, it was a landslide election. You're like, how many did you get? 44%.
Right.
Like, wow. Boy, people really hate politicians.
Yeah. Okay, well,
whole chunks of people.
I've been misinterpreting this for greater than 50 years now. So I stand corrected. Shady McCoy, the former NFL running back, real name LeSean McCoy, but Shady's a cooler name. He's on FS1. He's on the show that has Emmanuel Acho on it sometimes. I forget the name of it. But I saw this video yesterday. Boy, he loves him some C.J. Stroud, and it sounds like he's almost apologizing to Tank Dell.
Now he's aware of that, and he's on it. And then another thing is, We prayed him how, oh, he did a great job, right? Great rookie season. The team didn't do that. What did they do? They got better on defense, right? What did they do? They got better on offense.
Yeah.
And I got to do this real quick. Tank Dell, where you at? Where's my onesie? Tank, I want to apologize to you, bro.
Dog.
I wasn't familiar with your game like that. You were like that.
He liked
so
that.
When we keep talking about Stephon Diggs,
woo,
this is fast.
I love to hear my boy get
Tank Dell.
He apologizes.
People love Tank Dell.
They do.
There's a, like, he's got that underdog element too, and he's just fun to watch.
Yeah,
I think the underdog part of it, and I think a lot of people kind of claim ownership of knowing about Tank Dell from having, you know, if you're a big time college football fan and you know what's going on at the U of H and everywhere, like people who are really performing, and you saw him play in college and you felt like, no, this dude's different, then a lot of people are like, they want to pull for Tank Dell.
He led the nation.
I'm not arguing it or fighting it.
Yeah, he led the nation in receiving his last year at Houston. You know, like he was.
Yeah.
So he was. Plus, I like listening to Tank talk, man. He just seems like such a friendly dude. So, yeah, Shady McCoy. Man, there are a lot of people climbing on that Texans bandwagon around this national media, man. Hopefully not a lot of rat poison floating around the building. That's where having all those Alabama guys in the building comes in handy. Remind them about the rat poison, including the head coach, Alabama guy.
No, somebody else is saying that I was wrong about the plurality.
At least the
texter was.
I have the literal definition. Do we want to close out this topic by me reading the literal definition here of it?
Yeah.
The number of votes, a plurality is defined as the number of votes cast for a candidate who receives more than any other, but does not receive an absolute majority.
Oh, okay. So an absolute majority is more than 50%.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yep. So you were right.
I was right. Yeah. Go figure. The text page was wrong.
This was really going to bother me.
Yeah.
No, now people are disagreeing on it again. Yeah. All right. Screw it.
This is the worst topic we've ever brought onto the show.
No, it's not. It's relevant,
it's
Sean. We're topical.
You're right. It's an election
year. Did you know
there's
a presidential election this year, Sean?
I did.
Did you even know?
I just Googled and I saw that. Yeah. I got to get ready for this thing.
It's hitting home this morning because I saw an article this morning about how, I guess, Trump has made a lot of references to Hannibal Lecter.
And
people were saying, like, well, it's kind of a dated reference for the youth and what have you. But I made a reference to American Psycho.
You did.
The movie this morning.
Yep.
And that's a dated reference at this point.
Yep.
It's one of the many things Trump and I apparently share in common that you wouldn't expect.
Are you getting a lot of Trump fed onto your X timeline these days from the algorithm?
Are you not?
No, not really.
Oh,
not
okay.
A ton. Yeah. No, I
don't. I don't want to see anything about the election except when I want to see it. But yet somehow I'm a sucker enough that I click on it on my timeline enough that it's showing up.
I click nothing about the election.
Oh,
like,
no, you know
zero.
What it is? It's on my Apple News.
Okay. Because
I try to just keep vaguely aware of, you know, everything, and so I end up reading more election stuff from Apple.
Yeah, I'm not saying my timeline is perfect. If I'm trying to like pitch a no hitter and not have any politics, like it bubbles up on there, but it doesn't pound my skull. You know what I mean?
Mostly, look, I am a one issue voter, and my issue is, can you explain plurality versus majority to me? That is the only thing I care about.
Okay.
Who can do this for me?
Well, Me. Apparently, I need to run for office.
I know, but according to the text line, you're wrong 50% of the time. A majority of the time or a plurality? I'm not sure.
This is weird. This is the one day you choose to believe that the text page is infallible when it comes
no,
to...
No, I'm specifically telling you that they're... Did I say infallible? No. They're split.
Yeah.
They're split. We don't know.
Oh, I got you. No, we know because I just read the definition on the internet.
Do I have to explain infallible to you?
Yes, probably. Pat McAfee hates the fact that the Texans are really good at most things right now. He's an Indianapolis Colt at heart, very, very popular host. And McAfee just threw his hands up yesterday like, man, even the Texans mascot is really cool right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Torres rocked up. I don't love that Houston's just gotten better at everything. Even their mascots got better. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mascots got more pizzazz, more personality than ever before.
What'd they do? What'd they do to him?
Mascot's in a little bit of a beef, I think, with a D lineman or offensive lineman.
He's all revved up.
Yeah, and he's the pizzazz this Texans Toro has been showing to me on the internet has been.
He's rocked up?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Toro's rocked up.
It's like a gritty level.
Sweet.
Blue is top three. Mm-hmm. Mascot in the NFL every single year. Texans Toro, though, is hot at the heels.
Oh, yeah. That's so Blue is like a dumpy donkey, right? It's a donkey.
Blue's the Colts mascot. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So he's a donkey or a mule or something like that. I think it's a rented mule. And he's kind of dumpy looking. Got a big old pear-shaped body.
Not the Indianapolis Mules. There is...
They don't know. They're just it's a donkey for all I think.
It does look like a donkey.
They're going
right.
for a donkey.
Yeah.
Whereas Toro is all rocked up.
Yeah.
Toro's one of the more masculine of the mascots.
Yeah.
And I mean, he is after all a bull. And every day at training camp, Heinisch shoves Toro to the crowd.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They have so like out there in the midst of all the fans, I don't know about every day, but they were doing it for a little while where the fans would be out there and Heinisch would come walking through and he'd shove Toro and Toro would go tumbling to the ground. At one point they had a sign up that said days since the last Kurt Heinisch incident. And it was fun. It's fun.
Like one of those OSHA signs. It's great.
Good job. Toro, for a bull, has very good emotional intelligence. Very good at reading people. Because sometimes Toro will come up to me, and he can tell that I'm not in the mood for any hijinks.
Oh, really?
And he'll just kind of like give me a nod, you know, a bull nod, and then just keep walking by.
Okay. I need to take lessons from Toro, because sometimes I'll walk up to Seth, and he'll just start going, get you, and I'm not in the mood for this, Sean. Be more like Toro, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Heinisch thing is really funny.
Do we give credit McAfee for saying that Toro has beef with Kurt Heinisch? I don't think so. He would have called attention to it.
He would have been like, am I right?
Yeah,
am I right?
Yeah.
Seth, I got to admit that you were right about something yesterday.
Majority?
no, that'll be tomorrow when I say that. I was giving Kay Adams her props yesterday, and she does a good job, Kay Adams, the Up and Adams podcast. I was giving her props because she has provided a lot of content for all of us with all these interviews that she's been doing at various camps, including the Texans camp last week in Ohio. She's a very good interviewer, but as you pointed out, as it turns out, all the praise that she was heaping on the Texans,
yeah,
she's heaping that same praise on everybody else.
Everybody. I can't look at my timeline without coming up various graphs comparing me to Donald Trump and then Kay Adams loving on people.
Yeah.
It's all over the place, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like Kay Adams last night, I'm looking at this tweet. She was at Broncos camp yesterday. So she sat down with Sean Payton. She sat down with Cortland Sutton. I'm sure she probably sat down with one or more of the quarterbacks at some point or another. And so she retweeted out this video with this splicing of video with Cortland Sutton. And she, keep in mind, she comment tweeted it with, and I'm trying to find it exactly here, but something to the effect of, oh, Cortland touchdown, Cortland Sutton, 10 touchdowns easy this year, right?
Yeah,
something to that effect. Like, definitely scoring 10 touchdowns.
Cortland, how many quarterbacks have you had? Nine?
I think this is nine.
Nine. Sheesh is right. It's insane. Nine
damn,
quarterbacks.
Nine?
That's impossible, truly. And for you to be able to be a standout wide receiver, given that situation, fact. It's beyond crazy. Now you have what I assume is your guy. You know, I know he hasn't been named the starter because coach wants to be some Parcells, old school, whatever. But tell me about the chemistry, because I was here at practice and it was him to you the whole time.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice. Like you said, coach, I think coaches, you know, want to leave it open and see what happens. And, you know, I think the guys have been doing really well. You know, I don't want to discredit Zach and Jared. They've been doing their thing. But, you know, Bo had a really good showing in the preseason game. And, you know, watching him go out there and command the huddle and command the offense, especially in a 2-minute drill, I think it's really cool to be able to see him go out there and do that and have the success that he had. And then, you know, he's been doing his thing and progressing in practice. And I think that's ultimately what you want to see out of a young guy, but especially out of a young quarterback. Command the huddle, continue to command the offense, continue to grow, find his reads, and then be able to make the throws. And, you know, he's been doing that. And it's been a lot of fun watching him grow in these past 3 weeks of practice. And, you know, it's early. You know, we got a lot of ball left to practice and go play. And so it's been a lot of fun watching him develop and grow.
I think, by the way, credit to Kay Adams there for doing what Donald Trump and I cannot do, which is she made a reference to Ferris Bueller without actually saying it. She said nine quarterbacks. Man. That's a nine times reference. Oh, yeah. But Cortland Sutton's not going to get a Ferris Bueller reference.
Oh, he was born like 20 years after the movie came out.
Ferris Bueller is out killing people with his car in England right now. That's how he would know about Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
So Cortland Sutton has gotten a little bit of the DeAndre Hopkins treatment or Andre Johnson treatment.
A little bit, yeah.
There's something there. Bo Nix, she tried to put him in a bind of like basically saying like, oh yeah, Bo Nix is the guy, which would be selling out the other guys.
Stidham and Zach Wilson, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a promising performance, but one that was highly managed. You know, a lot of short passes. So it's they're
talking
they're
about Nix in the preseason game.
Yeah, Bo Nix. Sorry. So I don't think it's anything to get extremely excited about right now. And yet, it is Sean Payton working with a young quarterback. And you think back to Mac Jones, who they managed in his rookie season very carefully, and he ended up having a really good rookie season. Now, can Bo Nix be better than Mac Jones would go on to be? There's still time, but I could see. It seems like he's due to be the starting quarterback week one.
I think Cortland Sutton clears 10 touchdowns easy, is what Kay Adams said as a result of that video. You're right. She praises everybody, man.
She praises everybody.
She really liked us, you know?
She takes the over on everybody.
On everything. Yeah, she took the over on wins for all 32 NFL teams.
Well, this is something that Jim Rome does a really good job of doing. He butters up the hell out of his host, of his guests. It's annoying. Like, you got to listen through 2 minutes of him like telling the guy how awesome he is. It's smart. It's a smart thing to do because then after that first 2 minutes, he loosens people up, gets them feeling good about themselves, and then they start dishing.
Well, Nick Caserio with Rome has graduated from guy that gets buttered up during the interview or right before the interview to guy who gets buttered up even when Casario's nowhere near the show. Because I told this to Nick yesterday. I said, dude, Rome, as I was driving to practice on Tuesday, was talking about the Hassan Reddick trade. And Rome was talking about how, just look at the two teams that were involved in that trade. You got the Jets, who are a total clown show, you know, like the Jets.
Yeah.
And then you've got Howie Roseman on the other side. Howie Roseman, arguably the best GM in the NFL, not named Nick Caserio. Nick liked that.
I thought he was going to trash Howie Roseman. I was like, I got to hear this.
No.
No, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. I am ready to acknowledge fully a Houston Astros
plurality
performance. No, forgetting that ever happened. I'm ready to fully acknowledge an Astro performance that's become one of the most important ones during this winning streak. We will do that coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Next, top of the hour, we will give you guys an update, a practice report from what we saw out there yesterday. That'll be at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock hour is when we're giving away Texans tickets to the game this Saturday between the Giants and the Texans. They're lower bowl tickets. They're good seats. Be listening in the 9 o'clock hour for your chance to win. It is a surprise Texans ticket Thursday, and we're giving away tickets all day long. Each show, including Area 45 tonight, has tickets to the game on Saturday if you want to get out there. Noon kickoff, you can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. A reminder, our baseball talk, which we're about to partake in, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you get tons of benefits. You can save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. I am ready, Seth, to fully acknowledge Yiner Diaz as the linchpin in this lineup that he is. As you know, a few weeks ago, I was a little nervous. Hey, Byron, do you know where the acknowledge me hotkey is in there? Did Ben tell you that? Okay, yeah, give it to me right now. I want to
acknowledge me.
Acknowledge Yiner Diaz. And the difficulty of what he is doing, I had not factored in, like, okay, this is the guy who's protecting the guy in the lineup. You know, like, That's a key thing, and Joe Espada has talked about that, like he's let his mind wander. Can you imagine what's going to happen when we get Kyle Tucker back, and he's in between Yiner Diaz and Yordan Alvarez, what this is going to look like?
Yeah, but even the way that you said, can you imagine when we get Kyle Tucker back, not if
optimism.
We get Kyle Tucker back.
Trying to be optimistic, man, but nobody on this team has taken more at-bats with runners on base than Yiner Diaz since June 16th. I'll credit Chandler Rome with some of these numbers here in a really good piece he has about Yiner Diaz in The Athletic. He is hitting .370 with 32 RBIs with runners on base. Yiner's .370. Yeah.
That's pretty good, Sean. The player that you previously basically wanted to cast aside like a disused.
That's not true. You're exaggerating.
That's pretty much how you phrased it.
No.
You said it off air.
You're reading into
it.
That
he's no better than a snot rag to me. That's what you said.
I was probably a little dismissive of Yiner's chops as a cleanup hitter in this lineup, and it was right in the middle of this stretch that Chandler points out that he's been hitting .370, and I think it's just that he's been hitting with a little more pop of late, and B, the team's been winning too, and I think that kind of colors it. When the team's winning, the .370 feels even more like .370. You know what I mean?
The bigger, I guess, the big question with Yiner is, as he's demonstrated his ability to be clutch over this last stretch, He's also in the postseason. He's batting .071.
Well, that's
we have 14 at bats.
14 at bat, but that's something I did want to bring up. And this is for people who are going to get upset that we're bringing up Dusty Baker's name, because as soon as you bring up Dusty, like, oh, here they go blaming Dusty again. I think it is fair to question now that Yiner has gotten to this level that he, and keep in mind, he was a really good hitter throughout last season. He had an OPS in the 800s last year, and had home runs in the 20s somewhere, being a part-timer. So, I do think, not that we want to rehash the past, but this is such an extreme that he's become. He's become such a weapon. And Alex Cintron, the hitting coach for the Astros, pointed this out in the article. He said sporadic playing time in his first season made every at-bat feel more massive to him, which probably contributes to 1-for-14 in the postseason. You know what I mean? Like,
and exactly the whole point is that the argument last year wasn't even necessarily about, oh, he should be starting at catcher or something. It was that Maldonado was falling apart. Maldonado couldn't let a – he was letting balls pass him left and right. He was physically drained, and meanwhile, Yiner wasn't getting steady at bats.
Right.
So it wasn't even like that you got to start Yiner over Maldonado. Just, man, spell Maldonado somewhat and give Yiner some at bats. Yeah, he was not able to get into a groove, and probably pressed a lot.
Probably pressed. Like, I look, and maybe if you think this is me excusing my side of the argument and focusing in on the other side of the argument, but Martin Maldonado's OPS in the postseason was .416. He didn't have a single extra base hit. That was the one thing, even with Maldonado, who was never a good hitter at any point in his career, right? Like, he's never been a good hitter. But even when Maldonado was catching for this team as the regular catcher in previous years where the team made playoff runs, including the year they won the World Series, you could at least count on Martin Maldonado for an extra base hit every now and then. Like, when he did make contact, a lot of times it was good contact, you know? In the postseason last year, he was 4-for-28 with no extra base hits. It does. Like I start thinking back to last year. I mean, this is a team that lost in 7 games in the ALCS. This is a team that had to battle down to literally the last day of the regular season to win the division. If you were just maybe a little more forgiving of Yiner Diaz's youth, and maybe some of the leadership chops that he'd not yet developed, something he worked on this offseason, then maybe you might have gotten a key hit here or there that might have flipped something for you, either in the postseason or in the regular season. But, man, credit Yiner Diaz and the fact that now he is an everyday guy. He's not only an everyday catcher. He's a guy whose bat has to be in the lineup in some shape or form, whether it's as the DH or, as we saw a couple nights ago, as the first baseman for this team.
Right.
Got to be in there every night, man.
So Kyle Tucker, the latest report is that he was playing catch. That was a step forward from
I'll give you the exact report. Kyle Tucker is playing catch yesterday. Mm-hmm. He hit, and some of you may go, well, my kids played catch yesterday. Give me something else. He took batting practice inside yesterday.
Yeah,
like down in
that's
the
big one.
Bowels of the trop down there. And did a, quote, ton of work in the weight room.
In the weight room. I choose that as, like, he lifted a literal ton
exactly
of weight.
Exactly what I say, too. Yes.
Like, which could just, what, be 200 pounds 10 times? So that doesn't necessarily
Someone
sound like
that
all that much.
Page.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
now
one
just...
rep. He benched 200. Okay. He benched 205 10 times and called it a ton.
That's
funny.
Okay, that joke someone sent in an hour and a half ago now finally resonates with me. I'm like, what, 200 times 10? right over my head. So that's the Kyle Tucker news. I have no idea what to make of it at this point with Kyle Tucker, other than...
So with the bone bruise, as we read in that piece by Chandler Rome, and where he interviewed 4 different orthopedic surgeons, the common theme was, it's different with everybody, and sometimes it just takes longer. It does seem to be one of those types of injuries, though, that once you've fixed it, then, okay, now it's just a matter of getting your functioning back.
Yeah.
If he wasn't able to... I mean, if because of pain and swelling, he wasn't just able to move much at all, that means it's not just that he couldn't train or lift a ton of weights or anything, however meager that might actually be. You're not firing your calf muscles.
Right.
You know, you're not using your foot. You're hobbling around on a peg leg, it takes some time just to get all the muscle tone back and everything. So hopefully that's what he's going through right now. So when you saw him hobbling around a couple days ago fielding fly balls, maybe that's just him actually getting the actual strength back, but that the pain isn't an issue anymore.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed for sure. All right, practice yesterday. It was a Diggs destruction day at practice yesterday for the Houston Texans. We get you up to speed on everything that we saw out there, good and bad, from the Texans' last outdoor practice this week. They practice in the stadium later today. Practice report for practice number 16 is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.